This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with Lynn Mark and Noel Lim. It's 7:36 a.m, Friday the 29th of January. And in half an hour or so, we're going to be having the Breakfast Grill, where I'll be speaking with Ong Yang Ming, Vice President of Business for the Asia Pacific and Middle East over at Texas Chicken. So founded in Texas in 1952, Texas Chicken is one of the largest quick service restaurant chains in the world, specializing in one of the world's most popular food items, fried chicken. So with the pandemic still raging on, how will they maintain their presence here as well as continue to fill our hungry bellies? And as calls for healthier food options become more mainstream, can Texas Chicken provide alternatives to meet the demands of a new consumer segment? All that and more later on after the 8 o'clock news bulletin. Be sure to stay tuned.
I'm now hankering for some fried chicken. I just couldn't help myself. So now for more about the markets, Apple has had its best quarter yet, reporting sales of over $100 billion for the very first time. Sales were up 20% from a year ago, and it wasn't just driven by the iPhone, since sales for every product category rose by double-digit percentage points.
But while Apple beat street estimates, they did not provide official guidance for the fourth quarter in a row, which likely spooked investors. So the stock fell by over 3% in after-hours trading as a result, though it is still up about 3% year-to-date and 69% from a year ago. So for more insights on this today, we have on the line with us Daniel Ives, Managing Director for Equities Research over at Wedbush Securities. Dan, thanks so much for speaking with us today. Now, Apple reported blowout earnings with Q4 revenue up 21% on year. That said, its stock price is up 78% over the last 12 months, and Apple's now at a market valuation of around $2.4 trillion. How much further can Apple stock go with the super cycle now seemingly in play?
Yeah, and I think when you look at last night, there was a lot of hype going into this run, the super cycle, and we've talked about it for the last year and a half. Super cycle is a reality. That's what we saw last night. And we're potentially looking at what could be 240, 250 million units for iPhone, with demand robust globally, especially in China. We believe 6 to 9 months from now, this is a $3 trillion market cap. A lot more room to go, not just because of iPhone, because of the services re-rating. It was really a Cinderella story, what we saw last night.
You've got a $175 price target based on your financial year 2022 estimates. So what's the basis of your valuation and the fact that it could hit $3 trillion?
Yeah, well, I think with Apple, and it's really been our view for the last few years, you have to look at it on some of the parts. What's the value of the services business? What's the value of the iconic hardware business, iPhone, you know, as well as AirPods and Macs? I believe the services business is worth 1.2 to 1.3 trillion. And I think that's been a big part of the re-rating. If I go back about a year ago, Street was valuing that about 200 to 300 billion. So big re-rating on services, that's a $65, $70 billion revenue stream going mid-teens. Then the hardware, the iPhone, the hearts and lungs, we think that's worth $2.5 trillion. Combined on some of the parts, you start to get anywhere from low 3.2 to 3.8 billion. And now our bull case is $225 price target.
What about semiconductor constraints? Might that affect Apple's production and therefore sales? And are you expecting some of these constraints to ease off in the second half of the year?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think that's maybe a bit of the debate. And it maybe took a little bloom off the rose in terms of what we saw with no guidance and just some of the worries out there. I think up to 240 million units, there's no true semi constraints. I think we start getting past that, even though it's a high class problem, then you'll start to have some constraints. But the street right now is 220 million units. So that would really be another 10% upside to numbers. And if that happens, I mean, this would go down as the best product cycle we've ever seen from Apple, and just puts an iron fence around their install base, especially in China, which has really gone from, we'll call it, headwinds to significant tailwinds in the demand side.
So speaking of headwinds, Dan, what are some of the key headwinds that you foresee going forward for Apple?
Well, they're the poster child for U.S.-China cold tech war. It's been an overhang. I do believe with the Biden administration, you see a significant ratcheting down of tensions. But if there's any ratcheting up, besides just semis, Apple continues to be front and center. I think what, you know, some of the other risks are the company's going to have to continue to execute on now what appears to be a legit super cycle. Any supply issue, any demand, you start to see a pandemic that starts to have these second, third waves, more store closings around the globe. That's something that could be hypersensitive. So it continues to be a demand story. But in this environment, once in a 100-year pandemic, still uncertainty. And that's why they're not going to give guidance, nor should they, in my opinion.
Speaking about Apple, and now we move to Facebook, it reported a fourth quarter earnings that beat expectations. But the company warned that looming changes in Apple's iOS 14 privacy changes could hurt its business. Is this a material risk to Facebook's valuation, or it has been priced in?
I think a bit priced in, but no doubt you're starting to see a little bit of a battle between Apple and Facebook. Because iOS 14, you know, that from a tracking and advertising perspective, that takes away a pot of gold for Facebook. And you're starting to see them battle, and that is a headwind that's going to be continue to be there going forward, not just for Facebook, but for Google as well. And I think what you're starting to see with FAANG names, Apple is putting himself on an island because of privacy and because they don't rely on advertising. And on the other side of that is Facebook and Google. And I think this is going to be a continued trend. It's a headwind for Facebook. They continue to be front and center in this regulatory firestorm. But no doubt, you know, investors are starting to look past that because of what we're seeing on advertising rebound.
What's your target price on Facebook?
Yeah, so we don't formally cover Facebook, but our overarching view is that tech stocks move 25% from where we are today, with FAANG names tracking that or potentially exceeding that number.
So let's also move to Microsoft, Dan, because earlier this week, Microsoft reported earnings that beat expectations, with Intelligent Cloud continuing to drive the business. And you've raised your price target here to $285 with a bull case target of $325. What are these targets and valuations based on?
Well, when you look at cloud, I believe in 20 plus years covering tech stocks, it's the most transformational trend that I've ever seen. And Nadella and Microsoft are continuing to dominate on cloud. And you see that we're only a third of the way through workloads. And I believe cloud itself is worth $1 to $1.2 trillion. The overarching Microsoft, it's a matter of when, not if, they hit $2 to $2.5 because of cloud. And then they're further narrowing the gap versus Amazon. And you're just starting now to see this next leg of cloud growth. And that was probably one of the best quarters we've seen from Microsoft in 20 years of covering it. Stock knee-jerk. I still believe the coming weeks and months, we have a stock that continues to go much higher as the risk on trade returns after this Reddit GameStop phenomenon.
Okay, so lastly, with the Democrats in control of the White House, Senate, and Congress, how concerned should investors be about antitrust moves and which companies are at most risk?
Yeah, FAANG names are caught in this big tech versus Beltway battle. I do believe with the blue Senate, regulatory risks start to become more elevated. It's a long tail risk. I think for now, it's a contained risk. And ultimately, unless there's legislative changes, which likely will not happen next year or two, these companies do not get broken up. But there's going to be more and more headline risk, more and more scrutiny, especially of social media companies, and especially in light of what we've seen over the last, call it, 2 to 3 weeks. But to me, it's still a contained risk, not a reason to sell these stocks.
Thanks for speaking with us this morning, Dan. That was Daniel Ives, Managing Director for Equities Research at Wedbush Securities, giving us some insight into the raft of tech earnings that we've seen coming out of the US. And he points out that regulatory issues are definitely a concern with the Democrats now nominally in control of the White House, the Congress, as well as the Senate. But he's of the opinion that's a little bit further down the line, perhaps.
Yeah, so he says that Apple may break that $3 trillion market cap number, so sounds like the sound barrier. But anyway, you know, that makes it almost two times the size of the entire stock market of Malaysia, and probably much more cash than many countries. So Okay, so it appears that he doesn't think there's much headwinds, right, for big tech companies. And despite the semiconductor crunch, he thinks that Apple, I guess, being a big buyer of chips, they will get priority amongst vendors. So that's not expected to have a big impact on their production of iPhones and also on its sales then.
All right, and we're about to head into some messages right now. And then up next, we're going to be tackling the subject of corruption in Malaysia with Dr. Mohamed Mohan, President of Transparency International Malaysia. So stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.